and don't move when you speak.
Okay, so one and two.
The crowds gathered in St. Peter's Square, thousands upon thousands of the faithful waited in hushed anticipation for the pontiff to emerge on the balcony and raise his hands in benediction. The fasting and the prayers were over. The feast of San Gennaro would be ushered in with the pealing of the twilight angelus echoing throughout the Vatican, and the bells would be heard throughout all Rome, heralding merriment and good feeling. The blessing of Pope Francesco I would be a signal to begin. There would be dancing in the streets and torches and candlelight and music and wine. In the Piazza Navona di Trevi, even sections of the Palatine, long tables were heaped with pasta and fruit and all manner of home-produced pastries. For had not this pontiff, the beloved Francesco, given the lesson, open your hearts and your cupboards to your neighbour, and his to you, let all men high and low understand that we are one family.
Okay, stop. One and three.
There's no doubt about
it looked bad, but not as bad as it might have been. The left front wheel was horizontal, the tie rod held it broken. Not as bad as broken axle. The rest of the damage was, to Chi's thinking, superficial. Just scrapes, dents, and scratches. Chi found the chrome strip that Janet Pete had so admired about 15 yards back in a brush, peeled off by a limb. He laid it carefully on the back seat. The plume of dust produced by the plymouth was receding over the rim of the mesa. Chi watched it, thinking about his immediate problem, getting a tow truck out here to haul in the buick, thinking about the 5 or 6 miles he would have to walk to get a telephone, thinking about the $700 or $800 it was going to cost to patch up the damaged brick. Thinking about such things was far more pleasant than considering his secondary problem, which was... Okay, stop. Two and three.
Open your hearts and your...
Absolutely beautiful, Janet Pete had said. I fell in love with it, she'd said. Just what I always wanted. But he would think that later. He would start staring into the diminishing haze of dust, but his vision was turned inward, imprinting the back show bandit in his memory. The profile, the suggestion of pockmarks in the jaw, the hair, the cap. This has become a matter of pride. He would find the man again, sooner or later. By mid-afternoon, with the big back at Bernie's old garage, it would be sooner. So knew the Plymouth, had in fact once towed it in, and he knew little about the backhoe bandits. Everything that goes around comes around, she said happily. Everything balances it out. I wouldn't say that, so said. What's it going to cost you to balance out this beak? I mean catching the son of a bitch, she said. At least I'm going to be able... Okay, all together. She's not my girlfriend, she said. She's a lawyer with DNA, Tribal Legal Services. I ran into her last summer. She described how he had picked a man who came to be Janet Pitt's client and had tried to have him kept in the Farmington jail until he had a chance to talk to him, and how sore Pete had been about it. Tough as nails, she said. Not my type. Not unless I kill somebody and need a lawyer. I don't see how you're going to catch him with what little I know about him, so said. Not even his name. All I remember is he works out in the Blanco gas field on the other side of Farmington, or said he did. And that you pulled him in when he had transmission troubles, and he paid you with $200 bills, and he told you when you got it fixed to leave it at Slick Naka's revival tent. Okay, we stop. So you just stand up there, and we do one and two.
And in the corner, seated in a wing chair of ivory and blue velvet, was the Vicar of Christ, Pope Francesco I. He was a plain man of wide girth, and the strong yet gentle features of Campagnolo, the man of the earth. Standing beside him was his personal secretary, a young black priest from America, from the Archdiocese of New York. It was like Francesco to have such a paperweight. The two were talking quietly, the pontiff turning his enormous head, his huge soft brown eyes looking up at the young priest in serene composure. Managi, whispered Francesco. his large pezza pan covering his lips. This is crazy. The entire city will be drunk for a week. Everyone will be making love in the streets. Are you sure we have it right? I double-checked. Do you want to argue with him? Replied the black, bending down in tranquil smoothness.
All together? Hadn't heard about that, she said. She prepared this big, elaborate dinner. Had a guest coming to visit, a man very important to her. She put it in the fridge and she didn't come back. Leopold had been looking out across the grassland toward the distant thunderheads. It must have occurred to him that this would sound strange to Chi. She glanced at him. It's a San Juan County missing persons case, he said. But I'm on leave and it sounded interesting. You mentioned you were quitting, Chi said. I mean resigning. I am on terminal leave, Leopold said. A few more days and I am a civilian. Chi could think of nothing to say. He didn't particularly like Leopold, but he respected him. But I'm not a civilian yet, he added. And what we have here is peculiar, this overlap, I mean. We have Dr. Friedman Berner being a ferocious collector of this kind of pottery. Okay, stop. So you just come here in the middle. You and Ian.
Or was I it? Thought I, was if I was question. Standing, giving, well, not taking, I should reverse it. Don't miss, just do what's true. Then I see. Not that natural, come on. Alright, alright. The pontiff rose from his chair and smiled benignly at all the room. He turned once again to his aide and spoke softly so that no one could hear. In case anyone should ask which one is Semidonaro, nobody will ask. Someone does, use your standard reply. Ah yes, study the scriptures myself. You know, this is all crazy. Walk slowly and stand up straight, and smile for God's sake. You're happy. I'm miserable. Pope Francesco I, Vicar of Christ, walked through the enormous doors out onto the balcony to be greeted by a thunderous roar that shook the very foundations of St. Peter's. Thousands upon thousands of the faithful raised their voices to the exaltation of the Spirit.
Okay, all together. And none of it in any of Leopold's business, she thought, not if he had resigned. So why was he out here, sitting on that stone wall with his legs in the sun, with almost 200 miles of driving already behind him today? He must enjoy it or he wouldn't be here, so why was he resigned? Why did you resign, she asked. None of my business, I guess, but... Leopold seemed to be thinking about it, almost as if for the first time. He glanced at Chi, shrugged. I guess I'm tired, he said. But you're using leaf time out here, chasing after whatever it is we have here. I've been wondering about that myself, Leopold said. Maybe it's the fire horse syndrome. Lifelong habit at work. I think it's because I'd like to find this Friedman Bernal woman. I'd like to find her and sit her down and say, Dr. Bernal, why did you prepare that big dinner and then go away and let it rot in your refrigerator? To Chi, the answer to why Dr. Bernal let her dinner spoil was all too easy, especially now. Dr. Bernal was dead. All right, thanks. Not twice.
So, that's it?